So we're so glad you're here today, and we're going to continue our series today on the resurrection realities. This is part three, and this is basically what it's talking about is the fact that certain things happened after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was able to, make a way for us as Christians to be able to step into, without being too weird, a new reality, right? A new reality of what he made for us to be able to live a new life and everything. So we're going to look today just how it is that we fit into God's plan and where we fit into God's plan and how important that is. Now, God has called us to a special place in this kingdom. And have you ever heard someone say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, that's kind of a hard question sometimes, isn't it? You know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, I don't even see where I am tomorrow sometimes. Well, I do kind of know where I'm going to be, but regardless. But my question is, where do you see yourself for all eternity? Where do we see ourselves for all eternity? That's a long time. And then what it is God has for us. So a little bit of recap, Ben, we took a little break last week because we celebrated that great holy day, Mother's Day last week, right? You know, we're all thankful for our moms and everything and hope you all felt special. Now, week one, we looked at God keeps his promises, how we can really trust the fact that God does promise things in the Bible and he'll keep his promises. God's not a liar. Also, we looked at the idea that when Jesus rose from the dead, you know, the scripture says in Romans that Jesus was declared the Son of God. And how powerful it is that to me, it meant so much to me because Jesus finally gets the recognition that he truly deserved. You know, I don't like it when people diss Jesus. You know, it just bugs me because I know how much Jesus Christ did in my life. And what the sacrifice was that he made and everything that was accomplished on the cross and what he did for me, you know, I just think he deserves all the respect and all the honor and glory that we can give him. And then we also looked at the concept of the power of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is working in us today. When Jesus left, he didn't leave us as orphans. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives inside each and every one of us. That same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is quickening your and my mortal body, and he lives in us today, and we can tap into that. Then in week two, we looked at the concept that Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. The firstborn. Well, if somebody's the firstborn, there has to be other people coming after that, right? And we know that we, as a church, are the ones who were born after Jesus, meaning born again. You know, the concept of the born again experience, what it means to be born again and to be able to receive that new life of Christ. And looking back at that in John 3, Nicodemus was supposedly one of the big religious leaders back at that time. And when Jesus confronted him with that question, he didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And see, that just shows us that religion doesn't understand spiritual things. And that's why we don't want to be religious, right? I know people may look at, oh, you go to church, you must be religious. You know, I let them say it because I know they don't understand. But religion, if you look at it, what it is man trying to control people. But, you know, Christianity is that when Jesus come to set us free and to be able to walk in that newness of life. And then we also looked at the fact that, like I mentioned, a new birth, that we're a new creation, get a fresh start. I'm thankful for the fresh start. I needed one. You know, I might even need another or two right after the first one. Anyway, I don't remember back that far, but, you know, it's good to have a fresh start. You know, how many praise God for that? Amen. And then also God's called us to be ambassadors. You know, we're representing God here right now. No pressure, right? You know, we're representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's called us to go out and preach the gospel to all creation, to be able to show people what Jesus is really like. You know, and that's our responsibility, and we can do it in here, but, you know, for the most part, all of us kind of know within reason, right? It's the people out there. Amen. They're the ones that need to see the way. We know the way. So that's where we need to be ambassadors out in the world, so we don't check our Christianity at the door. Amen. You know, we keep our Christianity going all the time. Okay, so we're going to look at some, I want to say, spiritual truths today that are very important. You know, here's one right here. If we can learn how to identify with the heavenly stuff, it will help us down here with the earthly stuff. And that's kind of what we're going to look at today. You know, we live down here, right? We live on this earth. But Jesus also tells us in the scripture about some things of where we are. And so somehow we need to try to merge these two worlds together so that we can live a life to bring glory to Him. Amen? And what I don't want to forget to mention this, that we need to really understand the heavenly stuff, because that shows us what we can be. It shows us what God is leading us into. Because if you don't have a destination in mind, you're never going to get anywhere. Correct? You know, we have a trucker here in the house today. I'm sure he knows where he's going when he takes off, right? You know where you're heading. You have to. If not, you'll just drive around aimlessly. And we don't want to have that kind of Christianity. We want to know what it is Jesus has called us into so that we can head that way. And believe me, the journey's worth it. Now, we're going to look at a scripture today and found in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Now, this is something I want to throw out here and encourage you. I encourage you to read these four epistles of Paul. I used to read these over and over. You got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. That's Paul. Paul wrote these scriptures under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it kind of, what I call, it brings you into Pauline thinking. The Apostle Paul had a great revelation on grace and what grace is. And you and I need that. So if you're looking for some things to read, I would encourage you to read those just back to back. They're not that big. And you know, you can hop right in there and just go through that and read them over and over a couple times, highlight some things, you know, jot some things down to see what the Lord speaks to you about. Okay, so Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Here's Paul speaking here to the church. He says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for a stirring right now in each of our hearts, Lord, that we want more of you. We thank you that you've called us out of darkness, Lord, into your marvelous light. We thank you that we are no longer the same, but we have been changed. I thank you, Lord, that you are coming back for your church. We thank you that we want to be ready. Lord, help us prepare ourselves. Help us to be the bride that is ready for the groom. Lord, we pray for a stirring today and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And Lord, we bind the devil from trying to steal the word, and I yield the gift you put in me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we've all had probably a little bit of life experience for the most part. And have you ever been put into a position that you did not feel comfortable in? Been thrown into a situation that you've never, maybe you got promoted at work, whatever the case may be, maybe you're trying a new job, whatever's going on there, and you were thrown into this, and when you got there, you just didn't feel like you was quite prepared. Didn't really understand everything that needs to be done. And that's kind of what, you know, when we come into relationship with God, because basically we are been trained so many years to think like the world thinks. And it's totally sometimes in direct opposite of the way that God does things. So that we're thrown into this thing right now, and we want to try to understand things, and if we don't really get it, so it's okay, because, you know, sometimes in life there's some things that we get thrown into that just don't feel normal. And maybe in church here, maybe you just don't feel normal yet. Maybe this is kind of new to you. Maybe, you know, all the clapping and the carrying on that we do is just not, you know, I mean, you may yell at the TV and get all excited about the TV when a game's going on, or go to a sporting event and you're very vocal. But, you know, being at church, you've just maybe been trained that you don't get too excited about God. You know, it feels unnormal to you. But I want to encourage you, just hang in there. It's all good. You know, it'll catch on a little bit. You know, I like to say we grow on people like a fungus. You know what I'm saying? We just kind of, you know, believe me, I was the most laid back. I mean, my normal default setting, you know, but when I first went to a church, a Pentecostal church and stuff, and the clapping and the music and everything, and, you know, I want to scare people online. It's really not that wild. I mean, we had to take the chandeliers out because everybody kept hanging on them. They was dragging the ceiling down. But no, we've never had chandeliers. But, you know, idea of just what it is to be free to be able to worship God. Now, you don't have to do that stuff to worship God, but if you want to. Amen. You know what I mean? If you want to. I sit up front because people can't hear me sing. I'm projecting this way. You know, I know my voice isn't quite as good as everybody else's, but that's okay. I find a spot, you know, where I can get in that sweet spot. And it's stereo, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's just how we do. You know, we just want to roll. So I hope you feel comfortable, you know, in your worship with God and in your fitting in to God's plan. You know, just like a glove. You know, we've had gloves before. Hope you have. We live in Iowa. You need gloves every now and then, at least a few months a year. You know, a glove was created for one thing, and that is to fit on the hand. And a glove is lifeless without the hand. But so when you get that glove on, it just fits. And see, that's what I want you to feel in your walk with God, that it just fits. It's a perfect fit. And that you find your purpose in life and the things that God's called you to do. Because He has called us each to do something. Similarities in some, but differences in others. We're not all called to do the same thing, but we're all heading the same direction. Amen? We're all heading the same direction. And that's where we need to get to. So, now we're going to look at the idea of what some positional truth is. Now, positional truth is the legal side of our redemption. You know, that's legally what Jesus Christ did on the cross and the price that was paid and all the things that go in behind that. You know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not just me, you too. But we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, okay? That's the legal side. But how many know that if you did a survey with everybody in your family, do you think I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? How many would get 100%? You know, probably not very many of us, would they? If any. But we still are, because it's legally what Jesus did. Just like marriage. When you say you're married and get up and do your vows and stuff like that, and then you sign that little paper, and as long as I turn it into the courthouse at the right in the proper time, you're as married as you're going to get. You may not feel married sometimes, but does that change a fact? No. Legally, as far as the state of Iowa is concerned, you are married in the eyes of God. And so it's like that in our relationship with God, legally, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and the fact that maybe we've made that commitment to Christ, positionally, we are all these things. And some of these things I'm going to talk about right now, even though we're living maybe below that standard. Am I the only one that lives below the standard every now and then? I think we all do, don't we? We live a little below the standard, but that's okay. We're going to get there. So positional truth is the legal side. And then temporal truth is where we are living it out today based on our experiences. Because we all experience this world down here and how we try to interact with the world system while trying to maintain a relationship in God's system and to be able to operate that way. So it's just something that we need to learn how to do. So we need to get a revelation of positional truth if we're ever going to walk in the power of with our covenant with God. That's just the way it is. You will never rise higher in your walk with God until you see you can go higher. Just like anything in life. You will never get to your potential. You will never get better at anything unless you see the fact that you can. You will never change unless you see you can. So I want you to see today where God has placed you. God placed you there. And so if God put us there, don't you think we deserve to be there? I hope so. You may not feel you deserve it, but God says we're there. And we got to get there and to be able to walk in that power that God's given us. So what are some things that happened in this passage? It says that we were raised with Christ. You know, what I see from that is, you know, we are no longer normal or ordinary. You know, I was always a little abnormal myself, but now I'm really abnormal. And, you know, the idea of what it means is the fact that it's okay that we don't fit into everything in the world now. Stop. We can stop trying to fit in. Stop trying to make everybody happy. Just be what God has called you to be. God has made us all unique. He's made us special. And the plan he has for us is powerful and awesome. Now, what is our place in life? Well, here's something that's quoted from Deuteronomy 28. God says that his covenant people are the head and not the tail. I like that. You ever seen those horse costumes that people wear? I personally want to be the head. I'm sorry. I'm just, maybe it's just me. But I would prefer to be in the front. You know, I don't know about that bat person, you know, what everything they have to go through, you know. But anyway, I want to be the head, and that's where God's placed us. We're the head and not the tail. He also says that we're above and not below. So, see, we're up there. We're up there where God wants us to be. And he also says that we are ahead and not behind. So we see the greatness of God in his infinite wisdom and his mercy as where he's placed his creation. Really, where he's placed his recreation, right? Because creation fell. But this is where he wants to place his recreation. Those who have been recreated in Christ, meaning a new creature. So that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to flow there and to be able to get there and get into that. Okay? This passage also talks about the idea, it says to keep seeking. You know, keep seeking, that word seek means strive to find. Now, how important it is to find things. I don't know about you, but sometimes we can get into the rut of just seeking in order to seek, and we forget the finding part. Have you ever been looking for something so long that you forgot what you was looking for, and you just kept seeking? And I think that's somehow we can get in Christianity, because we're told to seek, right? Seek and you will find, but then we do the seek part, and then we're seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking. And then we just don't get the find part. So we need to recalibrate and to get back to the finding part. God wants us to find. God is not hiding from us. God is not, you know, in a position trying to keep things away from us. He wants to reveal himself to us. And he wants us to be able to walk in his ways. God's better glorified when we walk in a deeper, level of holiness with him. Now, not going through the motions. We don't want our Christianity to fall victim to that. So to me, I see that there must be purpose in what we do. We have to have purpose. We need to live with purpose. We need to live on purpose. Sometimes we just live, don't we? We just wake up, do what we're supposed to do, and just kind of go through the motions of the day, and then when it's over, we go home and go to bed. And same thing, different day, the next day. But we need to wake up and we need to figure, God, what's my purpose today? What is it that you want me to do? See, sometimes we make the mistake that when we find Christ, we think we're done. But to me, the journey's just begun. You know, once you become a Christian, God has so much more. Because he wants to dig deeper and to, because salvation, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but salvation is so important, but it's just scratching the surface of the depth and the riches of everything that God has to reveal to you and I. The older I get in Christ, the more I find out that I need to know. And that's true. Because God started a work that day that you bowed your knee to him. He started a work in your life. And he wants to complete that work. We just need to flow with him and be with him and allow him to do that work in our life to be able to bring change. So what we need to do then, how we do it, one of the ways is the word set here, as we see in that scripture. Set means to strive for earnestly. You know, we need to set our minds on the things above and not earthly things. Okay, you've heard the saying, so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. You ever heard that? A lot of people say that when people kind of get too radical for Jesus. But I think for the most part, we don't struggle with that in life, that we're so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I think if we took a survey or really, you know, mapped everything out, I think the data would show us that we're usually so earthly minded that sometimes we're no heavenly good because we're so consumed with what the world has. So we need to set our mind on the things above and not just earthly things. So what I find is it good is to, we need to seek heavenly direction for our earthly duties. You know, in your right soon as you wake up every day, God, I just want to follow you today. You know, I want to, you know, do what you've called me to do. You know, open doors for me that no man or devil can shut. Use me in a way that you want to use me today. You know, I want to follow you. And just start your day off with that, setting in order the plan that God has for you. And just see, some things may happen. Maybe you won't do, you know, things that you maybe thought you would do. But we need to do it because the idea of that the eternal is more important than the temporal. You know, without going in too much into end times, somewhere it says something about everything on earth is going to be passed away. Isn't it kind of a bummer? Everything that you've worked for, gone. All these things that we tried to accumulate, just going to pass away. But it says the eternal will last forever. Amen. You know, I like to invest in things. You know, you need to. You need to invest in some things, you know, for the future. But, you know, the main thing we need to invest in is our eternal life. Because you have a great reward. You have a you're a great investment. Have you ever witnessed the fact or get a witness in your spirit that hey, I'm a good investment. You know, God's doing okay investing in me. Because you know, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to glorify him. I want to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? That's what we need to see. And so what I've noticed is as we get older, it seems that things that really matter start to come into focus. You know, when you're young, all the glitter and glamour, all that stuff's kind of cool, all those bells and whistles, all those neat things. But as you get older, you just kind of see that what's really important. The important thing, you know, is relationships. And the people that you're going to lead to Christ, that's the most important thing, is the people that you're going to lead to Christ. I know maybe evangelism's kind of scary, And you don't have to stand up on a soapbox and start preaching and doing all that. You can, there's other ways to evangelize. But I just want to challenge you, you know, to make it your goal to want to lead somebody to Christ before you go to be with Jesus or he comes to be with us. You know, reproduction is very important for a species, isn't it? If you don't reproduce, you don't carry on. Well, for Christianity, same thing. It reproduction, we need to reproduce ourselves. And how do we do that? We do that by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and to try to make a difference in somebody else's life. I thank God for the people that came into my life. Maybe you can remember those people in your life. Somebody came into your life. You was not born a Christian. You had to be born again like everybody else. But somebody, God used somebody in your life. I'm almost guaranteed of it. Somebody to be able to make a difference or make an impact on your life. And just think about how appreciative you are to those people. And that's what somebody else can think about you if we do the same, to reach out to them. So, the old life is dead, and it says that our new life is hidden in Christ. Now, this word hidden, it talks there, is talking about to hold a shield over, to cause to be safe or protected by hiding. Okay, that's where our life is in Christ. That's the love that God has, is the fact that the protection that he has for his creation on how he protects us. Now, legally, our old life is dead. Temporally, we need to die to self to continue this process, okay, of how we walk in this new life. So God is protecting us like a shield. And then in that protection that God has for us, God wants us then to excel and to be able to choose his life over the old life. That's how it is. It's the decision. Everything's a decision. Everything that we need to do is one decision away. You know, one decision changed your life, right? That day that you decided to follow Christ. That changed your life. It changed the trajectory of your life forever. You're going this way, now you're going this way, right? Just that one decision. So decisions are very important on how we walk to that. So we choose to die to self. And what that means is the fact that when our old nature, the old lust and all those things tried to rise up, we just have to walk away. You know, I always use that illustration. I remember back when I lived in Denver, I'd just been saved just a wee bit. And I decided I didn't want to drink 32 ounces of pop anymore at one time. You know what I mean? Think about it from a scientific or health-wise. Does your body need 32 ounces of sugar? Probably not. Now, I'm not stepping on toes here. Maybe you love it, and that's all good. So I decided, I'd been convicted by God. This was God telling me that wasn't healthy for me at that time. And so I decided I'm not going to drink big gulps. That's what they called them at 7-Eleven, I think. It's big gulps anymore. And they even come out with 44 ounces, so any whatever. Well, I decided to do that, and I drove a service truck out in Denver. I was an electrician, so I'd go out and fix things for people. And I'd be driving along, and every block there was a 7-Eleven almost. And I just wanted to turn in. I just wanted that pop real bad. I could taste it. I felt a yearning for one of those pops. I needed it. So I dealt with that for a little while. White knuckles grabbing the steering wheel. Fighting the idea to turn in to get a big gulp. But that's what it is. Sometimes you just got to say no. Because the old flesh wants things that it doesn't need. And so that's how we start to let go of some of those things and get the victory. You know, I thank God for his grace. And, you know, I'm not dissing. If you love pop, that's all good. you know, and all those things. But if you feel that you don't want something anymore, I believe God's grace is there to help it, to help us to get through that. And importantly, what God can do in our life. Now, we're going to look at this scripture again in a different translation. We're going to look at the Message Bible. I really like the way that it worded some of these things, and I just want to look at it again. So, it says, and the Message Bible is a paraphrase translation. Why there's different translations in the Bible, for some who maybe don't know, is the fact that, you know, basically, it's God's thoughts, and then when the Bible was interpreted, different writers wrote those thoughts down. So we got the old King James, which, you know, that was one of the original English ones. It's got the these and thous, and a lot of people don't talk like that anymore. So there's other translations. I don't pick on translations. You know, whatever you feel is good, and there's some that I like others. But the Message Bible is kind of written in a kind of American slang a little bit on how we look at things. So it's good to look at different. If you're looking at a scripture, you don't understand it, look at it from a couple, three different translations, and it might jog something in your mind just so you see it. So you get the goal is to get the word in, however it works. Okay, so here's what the Message Bible says in Colossians 3, 1 to 3. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See the things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to the spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Okay, so that kind of, to me, that gives a little different picture of what God's saying here. And we're going to break it down verse by verse here as we're closing. It says, first one says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life of Christ, act like it. Meaning, how do we act like it? We need to act on the gospel. When you see God revealing something in the Word to us, we need to act on it. We need to respond to it. You know, if I was going to give you a gift and I hold it out, but you never take it from my hand, is it really your gift? Legally it is, but temporally you refused it. Why? Because you didn't reach out and take it. So when God gives us a scripture, we got to reach out and take it. It's mine. Claim it as yours. That's how it works. So the old saying I liked is we need less explanations of the gospel, more demonstrations of the gospel. You know, it's important that we do that. See, people will notice more about what we do than what we say. So if we're a Christian, we need to act like one, basically, is what it's trying to tell us. You know, whatever that means to you. Now, to me, it's not the pickle juice Christians where you're all puckered up and don't enjoy life. I mean, that's not, I don't know about that one. That's down the street somewhere. I don't know. That's not this church. But anyway, you know, we need to live out the gospel. Then it goes on to say, pursue the things over which Christ presides. Okay, stay in God's lane. God wants us to stay in His sweet spot. You know, there are certain arenas in the world that we're never meant to play in. That's just the way it is. We won't fit into everything in the world. Once you come into the Christ life, once you start walking and living for Jesus, we may not fit anymore into everything that the world has, right? We just can't play in that arena no more. We can never win there because it's all carnality. It's all the things of the flesh, and we were never meant to play those games anymore. So we just have to walk away. We need to walk away from those things and just stay in where God's called us to do. And when we do that, then we're going to find out exactly everything that God has for us. Then it goes on to say, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Okay, now, that tells me a couple things, but have you ever walked around and you're looking down and you didn't look where you're going? and you ran into something? I mean, a lot of people have that mistake now with their cell phones, right? They're on their phone and they run into a pole or something like that, you know? Just, you know, where our eyes are focused is the direction we're going to go. If you're always looking down at the world, well, that's the direction we're going to go. But if we're looking up into the heavens, seeing and trying to find heavenly things, well, that's the direction we're going to head. So it's important that we do that. So when I see this talking about being absorbed, a couple things come to mind. Number one, don't be self-absorbed. If you don't know what that means, look it up. It's important that we understand not to be self-absorbed, that it's all about us, that the world revolves around us, that we picture ourselves in the center of the universe, because we're not. That's where Jesus sets. Now, we can set by him, but he's still the center. We got to make sure that stays that way. And then don't be so earthly absorbed, just caring about the things of the world. Okay, now, it says, look up, be alert to what God, what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. So the Christian life's the best life, no regrets. What I find out is the fact that we need to dive all in. That's the only way you're going to enjoy Christianity. If you're just going at it half-heartedly, it's not going to be that much fun. Because I did that. I did that for a year or so before I finally bowed my knee to Christ. So get all in, decide to surrender, and give it all to Christ. And then you're going to start to enjoy that life. See, God is always up to something, and we should want to be a part of what God's doing. God's always doing something. He's always doing something. And we need to be a partaker of that. And then seeing things from his perspective. When we look at things through the lens of God's word, we see it from God's perspective. You know, so that's how important it is to get in the word of God and starting to see things. Now, it'll help us in our relationships. I know that, you know, in marriage, it'll help your marriage. I know it helped our marriage. You know, when I started to see my wife as God says she is, wow, hubba hubba, you know what I'm saying? Saw a godly woman. How important that is. But see, it's so easy to get your eyes off the what God's wanting to see and get our eye off the prize. And hopefully, husbands, you see your wife as the prize. Amen? All the women say amen anyway. Come on now. Amen. So we get an advantage when we start to see things from God's vantage point. Need to get on a high hill. I've been lost a time or two in my life, and when I was, I had to get high so I could see where I needed to go. And so we need to get on that high hill with God. And lastly, the idea here, it talks about your old life is dead, your new life, which is the real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. So we got the real life versus the fake life. And how we need to be able to tap into that and stay. Now, we're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. Not every day is going to feel goosebumps, Holy Ghost power. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to stand up and say, oh, I just get a, you know, when I get up in the morning, you know, the angels help me get dressed. And, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes preachers can make it sound all super spiritual and everything, but it ain't like that all the time. Matter of fact, I can't remember very many times. But I do know that when I get up and I seek God first, things start to flow a little better. Amen. Things start to fall into place. And so I hope you've come to the place in your life now is the real life is real gold, and then the old life is fool's gold. You ever seen fool's gold? You ever had a rock like that? You find it, and man, you think you hit it. This is my time, baby. I found gold. So then you go to get it appraised, and they tell you the truth. It's not real. What? I already charged all this stuff, you know? I bought all this stuff. What am I going to do now? I've invested heavily in this fool's gold. Don't get tricked like that. stay true to God's word, stay true to God's plan, and God will bring you to where you need to be, believe me. You just got to show up every day. Amen. That's as easy as it is. Just show up every day. Different days, some days are going to be amazing. Some days you're just going to go do it. That's just the way it is. But show up. That's how you get on with life. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Let's pray.